with that background, we're thinking about the extent of drought, and that gave us a good national, you know, North America perspective on things. But this, we know, we're aware these are global phenomena. So as we transition now, we're going to be thinking about from using examples from specific areas, but thinking about, hey, what are some principles at the systems level? Later on, we'll talk about soils improvements, crop and genetic improvements that we can use to make our cropping systems adapt to drought. I mean, your projections are awesome, Brian, but you still can only get so far. And agriculture is about making a gamble at one point in time that can't see to the end of the growing season on drought. So this symposium and what a lot of us are working on is, okay, what kind of practices can we implement in these systems to make us adapted to drought? So with that, I'd like to turn the time over to our next speaker, Jose Payero, from Clemson University, and he can introduce others in his team and their project. So.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Jose Payero. I work for Clemson University in South Carolina. I'm going to tell you a story. In 2006, I picked up my bag and decided to move to Australia. Okay, when I got to Australia, Australia has been in a big drought for the last decade. So I got to see firsthand the impact of drought in a very dry environment. So one of the things that I'm an irrigation engineer by training, so obviously my solution to drought is irrigate. As simple as that. That's not always possible. It's not always possible. It might not always be the best solution. So I started doing a lot of irrigation related project in Australia. And then one of the things that in 2012, I decided to go back to the U.S. But one of the things that I did just before I left Australia was to look at, I used to work there on cotton farming systems, looking at different aspects of water management there. But one of the things, last projects I got involved with when I was there was looking at what is it that farmers here are doing to adapt to drought. Looking just beyond irrigation, what is it that they are doing? They have been in the drought for 10 years. What is it that, you know, obviously during that period of time, a lot of farmers went out of business, but a lot of them survived and still there. So I wanted to know what is it that they are doing to adapt to drought. And we went out and interviewed a whole bunch of farmers and drought consultants and came up with a whole bunch of practices that they were doing. And I'm not going to go into all of that. But when I moved back to the U.S. and this opportunity from NRCS-CIG came along, I said, well, why don't we put together a project to look at different farming practices. So I put together, first step was to put together a team that can look at the issue of drought in a multidisciplinary way. So this is my team here. So we have myself, which is, I'm an irrigation engineer by training, and Dr. Kalilian works a lot with tillage and cover crop and other things. And Miller is works with sensor-based irrigation in vegetables, and Marsha is work with weeds, how to control weeds. He has been doing a lot of work with cover crops. And Becky Davis, she is my irrigation technician, and she's the person who does all the work, and we take the credit for it. But anyway. So it's of course impossible to look at all the things that you can do. I mean, you can one of the things in Australia, we find out that people are doing things like, you know, selling water. If you have water, you're selling water. It's one of the things that they did to their name. If they're not going to use it, They look at the skip row planting systems, different type of that, crop rotations. But this was a 3-year project, so we couldn't look at everything. So I look at what you see that, what are the challenges here in South Carolina. And for some of the people who live in Arizona and Texas and Nebraska, you're going to laugh because we're talking here about drought, but South Carolina gets around 50 inches of rain. So why are we talking about drought in South Carolina? It's a very humid environment. Well, these are the challenges we face there. We have dry land production system, obviously. Irrigation is a small percentage of our crop production there. Then we have, even though we have a lot of rainfall, it's very uneven rainfall distribution throughout the year. We have soil with very low water holding capacity, very sandy soil. And also, we have a big problem there is the issue of shallow hard pans. So, I used to work in Nebraska and Australia, and in those places they have very deep soil profile. In South Carolina, you have very shallow hard pans, and that limits how much the water capacity or holding capacity of your soil profile. And the other issue we have, other challenge we have there is soil with a high special variability. So even if you have irrigation, it's a challenge to manage because you might have within the soil, same soil, onto the same field, you have 3 or 4 different soil types. So because we couldn't cover everything, one of the things we did was to look at what are the practices that we can demonstrate. So this is an RCS project, so it's mostly extension project. So we look at what are the practices that we can demonstrate. And we look at seven practices. So these are the practices we look at as far as our project, and of course these are not all the things you can do. So we look at conservation tillage, or tillage in general, cover crops as an option for adapting to drought, the issue of deficit irrigation, variable rate irrigation technology, sensor-based irrigation, and the use of drought-tolerant varieties, and lastly, looking at skip row planting systems. So those are the seven practices that we were trying to demonstrate as part of this project. And what I'm going to do now is go through each one of these practices without going into much detail, but tell you some of the things that we have been doing. This skip row planting, and this is a practice that is very common in Australia. It's kind of a no-brainer there. People use that all the time. But when I went to South Carolina, nobody uses that. So what is skip row planting? Basically, you can, and I put this table there showing that the system we usually use is just plant every row, and that's called a solid plant. You plant every row of crop. But you can skip. There is a system they use called single skip. You plant 2 rows and then skip 1. Basically, it's a different way of decreasing the plant population. Okay. Then they use this double skip and an alternate skip. So these are the different ways you can plant a crop. So skip row planting, we didn't have much local information in South Carolina, so part of what we have tried to do is try to demonstrate that. This is in 2000, and also to collect some local data. This is in 2013, when we started the project, we did 2 demonstrations. One was, this is in a farmer's field, so we did a field scale type of demonstration, and also we did try to collect some actual data that has some scientific validity. We use put this some of these practices in the research center there as well. So Basically, we did a side-by-side comparison. This was all replicated, and we put some moisture sensors there to try to quantify how much water saving we're having. And this is all dry. This was in the dry land field. We did this in 2014. We extended that demonstration to look at. We acquired a center pivot, so we divide this center pivot into three different fields. So we look at what was the impact of this configuration, planting configuration, into if you have a dry land situation, you have a deficit irrigation situation, or if you have a fully irrigated system. We repeated this demonstration in 2015 as well. This is what it looks like. This is an alternate skip system. This is a single skip system. Again, we collected soil moisture data from different depths throughout the season. And this is biomass production. And that's a lot of numbers. But just look at this last column. One of the things with skip system is if you look at this, it's biomass. This is gram per unit area, gram per square meters. And here you have grams per linear meter. So basically what happened with skip row, here if you look at this last column, this is the increase or decrease in biomass production compared to the solid. So this is the solid here. So of course the solid has zero because we're comparing with each other. But if you look at a single skip, you have 28% increase in biomass production per plant. Okay, as you go down the road here, this gets 43% and 53%. So, as you decrease the population, your biomass per unit length, or basically you're getting a bigger plant. Okay, but if you look at biomass production per unit area, it's a different story. So, because you are decreasing the population, then this low population, double skip and singles and alternate skip that decrease the population by about 50%, it gives you about around 30% decrease in biomass also. But if you look at the single skip compared to the solid, they have about the same biomass production. People from like me like to look at graphs instead of a table. This is what happened in 2014. So here's the solid, and this is again grams per meter, linear meter. You see that as you decrease the population in all the other irrigation regimes, you're going to get a bigger plant, basically. But if you look at a dry land system, we can see that, and this is for 3 years of data that we have so far. We're doing this experiment again this year, but 2013 to 2015, this is gram per meter. So compared to this is the solid. Solid gives you a smaller plant across the board. But if we look at the biomass production per unit area, you're going to get that this solid is very comparable to the single skip. We didn't see any difference here, a little bit of difference, not much difference there either. But so the take-home message there is if you use you get a really big disadvantage in biomass production if you look at planting 50% of the plant population using an alternate skip or single or double skip. But if you go to a single skip system, you are reducing the population by 67%, but you get comparable biomass production. We look at soil water dynamics of our system as well. This is for solid and single skip only. Interesting thing here is that This is, we calculated from this data set, we calculated how much water the crop was actually using in each of those two systems. And if we look at this graph, it shows the cumulative soil water gain or infiltration into the soil. And it looks like the single skip was able to catch for more rain, basically. And therefore, this is the ET calculated the water use of the crop from there, cost more ET as well. We also installed watermark sensors. So this is in 2014. And this is for 8 inches depth. And we can see the blue line indicates how much stress you have on the crop. Here it was basically wet at the beginning of the season, and at the end of the season was also wet, but here in the middle of the season we have a big drought period. And during that period, the soil has more stress than the single skip. If you go look deeper into the soil profile, you see also this is a 16 inches depth. Also, we can see that during this drought period, this is the dryland system. We have more stress with the solid system compared to the single skip. And this is even going down deeper in the profiles, 24 inches deep. You can see the same thing. If we accumulate the stress for the whole season, then we can see for this is a dryland system. In the glider system, we see a big difference in solid compared to single skip. So our solid system was, as you said, this is in the deficit irrigation. We don't see much of the difference in the irrigator, of course. Above deficit irrigator and glider system, you see a big difference in stress. We have done some economics on this, and this is... comparing that this is the solid, and this is the income when you take into account the cost of the seeds, because remember that this is for cotton. We are looking at a GM crop that you have to buy the seeds, and they are expensive. So if you take into account the yield produced and also the cost of the seeds, then this is the economics of that. So this is the solid, and this is the single skip. And these are the alternate skip and double skip. So basically what we have found is that during this season we were able, with a single skip, we increased our income by about $176 per acre by implementing a single skip compared to the solid. If we implemented these two alternatives, then we'll lose money. These are the details about this analysis. It's a simple analysis. I'm not going to go into that, but these are some of the details. So in conclusion for that part, we have that the skip planting treatment tended to conserve soil water, it produces bigger plant, high biomass per unit meter, but it reduced biomass per unit area. Biomass and yield of the single skip system were very similar to the solid system, but the single skip reduced seed costs and increased income. Sensor based irrigation. Sensor based irrigation. One of the things we're trying to promote there is how do you adapt to drought and changes in variabilities in climate. Well, you can do a very job of making decision on when to irrigate for those that have irrigation. So we're trying to, as part of this project, we're trying to help some of our producers, in this case vegetables and fruit producers, to make better decision about irrigation. So we established a system to look at how you automate irrigation. So this is what we have done is go and work with the growers and go and install, help them through the process of installing sensors in the field. and use that information to make to basically trigger irrigation. And we have done this work basically for people who have drip irrigation in high-value crops. We have been using these scented ECI probes coupled with wireless communication. So the data basically goes directly to the internet, is collected automatically, goes to the internet, and the system has a relay switch that automatically starts the irrigation system and stops the irrigation system. By doing that, we have shown that comparing this to having the grower make the decision themselves, we have been able to save. This is the farmer's system. I've been using about 13 inches of water during those two seasons, and this is with a sensor base, use about half of the water. This is in 2014. This is one particular grower there that produces watermelon. And we track how much he was using in pumping costs. This is red is the farmer making the decision, and the blue is the automatic system. And we were able to save about 43% of the energy for that particular farm. We look at tillage. One thing we realized there is the common wisdom is that you should reduce tillage, and that's where minimum tillage, as was everybody is going to plan to conserve water. That works everywhere else. In South Carolina, it doesn't really work. Okay. Because, again, we have this kind of situation where you have, like to grow, say, cotton, you're going to have this very hard pine here about 12 inches down. So if you don't break the hard pine, you're not going to get much. So common practice there is that farmers will go and till, usually about every 3 years. And this is the type of equipment that they use. We try to educate the growers to use also controlled traffic. And this is some of the effect of tillage on cotton yield. Okay. This is an irrigated or dry land situation, comparing paratill or deep tillage versus no tillage. And we can see in South Carolina, you get, in both situations, either irrigated or dry land, you get an advantage of tilling. We also work with variable rate irrigation, and again, this is a typical, very typical field in South Carolina. This is a small field, but we have three different soil types here. So how do you need to be able to manage that variability? So we have been, and that's why another field, typical situation under a pivot. How do you manage that variability? So you want to be precise on how you apply the irrigation. So variable rate irrigation is an option to look into. One of the issues we have there is that the cost of the variable rate system is pretty high. So we've been working on developing our own system, and this is the lateral move system that we have converted into variable rate irrigation, and this is a pivot we use to demonstrate the technology. So we have been focusing on demonstrating how the technology actually works. Okay, and also at the same time, trying to develop our own system. This is a system we developed there at Clemson that we can put together ourselves, and that will lower the cost tremendously. We've been doing a lot of work with cover crops. This is a typical cover crop system. This is a demonstration we have with cover crop versus, trying to demonstrate cover crop versus no cover crop in the farmer's field. So this is the no cover crop. This is a cotton crop after cover crop versus no cover crop. We look at creating some information. And this is an experiment we did and been doing there, looking at comparing cover crop with no cover crop, and also looking at the soil water dynamics of it. And time, so I'm not going to detail. But one of the things you see is that, you know, cover, no cover crop, when you have no cover crop, you're going to have a lot of weeds. That's going to be soaking up the water. This is that. We look at what's the impact of cover crop in terms of infiltrating water. Well, what we found here is that if we accumulate the infiltration, this is a no cover crop has less infiltration than a mix of cover crop or rye cover crop. The best advantage to get with a rye cover crop. Anyway, I have a lot more information, but I will stop there. Okay, but I have time for questions or not.